Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I'd only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited to premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/save. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead. Take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Come on, man!
Hot dance! Touchdown number 2!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Tyreek at the 40, 35, 39, down the sideline he goes! Touchdown! Sam Darnold putting on a show!
Today's guests... Prime Video TNF analyst Richard Sherman, Fox Sports NFL analyst Julian Edelman, host of the Greenlight podcast Chris Long, plus Overreaction Monday and more. And now it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. It is the National Football League season, week number 1. Version of this Monday on the Rich Eisen Show and also the Roku Sports Channel and this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us, Sirius XM, Odyssey, TuneIn, and more. We have got a ton of games to talk about, big time college football weekend as well. We have officially made it, and we're going to have a great chat with Richard Sherman later on in this hour. In hour number 2, Julian Edelman. Hour number 3, Chris Long from the Greenlight Pod in his Monday spot. And then there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's see some phone lines lit. You want to talk? Let's talk. It's that time for a conversation. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Rich. It's Victory Monday. Let's go.
Is that good to see Victory Monday for you?
Not so much.
All right, Jay Felly in his Raiders lid. Good to see you. How are you, Jay Felly?
I'm doing great, other than the game.
Outstanding. And good to see you, TJ Jefferson. What's going on?
Well, I really only have one thing to say.
How about them Cowboys, indeed. It is one of those days, man. I got to tell you.
Can I hear it one time, Jay?
I got to tell you.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! All right, very good. Very good. Hey, listen, and this is what I want. Overreaction Monday, our podcast, we'll be doing it after the show, and that'll be later today. Make sure you get the first in-season version of that. And it's the first in-season Los Angeles-based studio show for us today. We're fresh back from Kansas City with those two games in the books.
That was awesome.
And so here's the scoop, folks. Week 1 of the National Football League, you have to look differently at it than the way that we looked at it for years in advance. The preseason and the fact that most of teams don't play their quarterbacks in the preseason until either the very end or if at all. And the number of times that offensive line groups play with each other, sometimes when you have to shuffle in players because some players go down during the game. This is the first time a lot of players are playing together on the same field in the same snap, period. And you got rookies coming in. So the play's going to be choppy. And the number of times that you take a look at a week one performance and say, how can we evaluate that? We don't know. But it is a world in which there's not much nuance. And guess what? There's a whole host of shows and conversations and social media outlets where the nuance goes out the window. We try to provide it. Thanks. But there are some performances where you must give out the flowers for week one, and you must take a look at the conversation that we've been having for months leading up to this week one and use that as perspective to talk about the first 4 quarters of a team season and give their flowers out. If I had told you that Dak Prescott would throw for just 179 yards on 59% passing with a passer rating in the mid-80s, and that CeeDee Lamb would have 61 yards receiving, and Zeke Elliott would have just 40 yards rushing in Cleveland, where the Browns were fielding a championship-level defense with the defending defensive player of the year, Myles Garrett. If we had told you that leading up this entire all-in offseason where we're wondering if CeeDee Lamb's going to get paid and if Dak's going to get paid, and CeeDee Lamb gets paid just a week before the season, and Dak gets paid and about 6 hours before kickoff, and we had told you those numbers, you would say the Browns just put the bang thing on the Cowboys in front of the dog pound and they're feeling great about their season. And instead, the exact opposite is true. The Dallas Cowboys went into Cleveland and absolutely destroyed and gutted the Cleveland Browns in week one. Ripped out their hearts and showed it to the dog pound pumping. Looked at that dog pound and treated it like it was a fire hydrant, quite frankly. Showed all the warts and all of this Cleveland Browns offense with banged up tackles and Deshaun Watson coming off of a season where it was yet another question mark for him and the Browns. And all the Cowboys did was just take that and pound it into the ground and turn it into sand and just throw it all over the place like they were ashes. That's what the Cowboys did yesterday with a Cowboys head coach who doesn't have a contract. He's seeing Dak now making $60 million a year. And how Dak performs definitely has a lot to do with what Mike McCarthy conjures up and calls up, and he called a brilliant football game. They lose Dan Quinn on the defensive side of the football and hire Mike Zimmer back into the fold. It had been a couple of years since Mike Zimmer stood on a sideline and called a single thing. And he took that defense and has in just one game in, I understand it's just one game. That defense is absolutely, even without Deron Bland right now, absolutely one of the top five defenses in the NFL, and you don't want to see him. It's that simple. That's what the Dallas Cowboys did yesterday, and you got to give it up to them. And to their level of focus. Honestly, because I thought it's just Jerry Jones who can operate successfully in this world where everything's up in the air and who knows? I don't know. There's no urgency. There's no level of urgency. And even many people think there's no level of urgency for Jerry to try and win another Super Bowl. All he's got to do is just make his gajillion dollars and, you know, sell stadium names with the Steinbrenner family. And it doesn't really that matter that much to him.
Sometimes I feel that way.
And a lot of Cowboys fans do feel that way. But one game in, this team looked deep, and it looked stout, and it looked super. And you got to give that up. You got to give up. Because, you know, the Browns, like I said, held CeeDee Lamb to 61 yards receiving.
Browns have a good defense.
No, it didn't look that way many times yesterday. And the Cowboys have a kicker that can knock it through from 60-something yards. I don't even know why McCarthy didn't let him try a 71-yarder yesterday.
I thought he was going to.
I thought he was going to, too.
That was one of my knocks, Rich, and you have said this over the years about the time management for the Cowboys has been suspect since McCarthy's been there, and it happened again yesterday. I don't know what was going on.
Dude.
But yeah, why not? Why not let him take? He kicked the 71.
Coaches sometimes have to get a hold of themselves, the better part of themselves. The last thing you want to do is give, I think, Denzel Ward standing underneath the goalposts an opportunity to return.
Tom Brady pointed that
because
out
that's the thing that can absolutely change the tenor of that game when Cleveland was dying for something like that to happen, because it sure wasn't going to happen based on their own doing offensively or Dallas's own doing defensively. Wasn't going to happen.
That's a very good point.
And you've got to give it up to Dak, man. For Dak to get paid and find out 6 hours before the game and then perform in the manner in which he performed, which is just stay within yourself, man. Don't try and do too much.
Take what they give you.
Take what they give you and don't try to do too much because you got to prove you're worth $60 million a year. He was awesome and had this to say about getting paid after the game.
Yeah, I mean, when I told you guys Thursday that I was focused on this game, excuse me, that was the truth. I mean, I had one other conversation with my agent after meeting with you guys Thursday, and it was essentially that, yeah, they're working hard. Can't say that I'd say that they were close at the time, the last time that I talked to them, but obviously, as I've said and alluded to since back in training camp of the spring, my confidence in both sides of this, that something would get done, understanding that they were hammering at it, that I had confidence in it, but it really wasn't in my mind. For me, it was just about getting ready for the Browns. Whether it got done today or not wasn't going to change the way – wasn't going to affect me, honestly. I've told you guys before, I don't necessarily play – I don't play for the money. I think when you focus and you control what you can control, things like that just happen. So, I found out probably an hour, I get, or I mean, honestly, probably 20 minutes before it was, you know what I mean, publicized to everybody else.
And you know, I don't believe Dak plays for the money, but I do believe he plays for the respect as well. And that's what the money indicates, the respect for what he does, how he goes about it, face front. The slings and arrows one gets when you're a Dallas Cowboys quarterback. That's what I would say in response to hearing what he had to say there. But way to go, man. Way to perform. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Soup to nuts. And while I'm potentially overreacting, if that's what you think, or giving out flowers, which is the way I think, there's one other thing I want to say about it. Whatever. Because that's the way you got to look at the Dallas Cowboys. Until I see it in January, that is the end of that. Got to give it up to them. When you see an opponent that has got weaknesses and you not only exploit it, you just take your thumb and you stick it in that wound, you just dig it in deeper. Got to give it up to them. Now do it in January. That's literally everything I'm going to say every single time I see what the Cowboys are doing, even if they lose a game that they should win and you're wondering, can they do it in January or whatever? Bottom line is, that's a playoff team. We're going to see them play in a win-or-go-home game in January. If not for your case, hopefully for your case, TJ, February, so you can put this team 100%, if it stays healthy, has what it takes to break the 28-year-long drought of not appearing in a championship game weekend. Now go do it. That's it. And that's where you have to leave the Dallas Cowboys. Week to week to week, man. Whatever. But
we're on to the Saints.
Move on to the Saints. And then you got the Baltimore Ravens. Then you got a Thursday night game at the Giants. Oh my goodness gracious. You're visiting Pittsburgh, home for Detroit. Now let's go for that one. Before we get to Richard Sherman. The Detroit Lions looked like they could get got last night. The Rams are a really good team, man. Gosh, is Matthew Stafford. When you watch him sling it at the top of his game, it is just fun to watch. I think even Tirico said it's just fun to watch.
He took a lot of hits last night.
Dude, when he's no look, I know that because they're banged up on their offensive line already. Puka Nacua got carted off, man.
That was so awful to see.
Devastating.
But, fresh reminder, healthy Cooper Kupp is first ballot Hall of Fame type player.
First ballot.
Oh, pal.
I don't know
at
about
At some
first
point,
ballot.
Listen.
He looked great yesterday.
Cooper Kupp at the top of his game.
He looked back.
Is 100% a first ballot Hall of Famer. If he, you're including the consistency of it. This dude, 14 catches, 100 plus yards. He's open every single time. McVay can scheme him open.
It doesn't even matter if he's open.
And even if he's not, that toe tap
was, oh my God.
That toe tap
incredible.
Is already your clubhouse leader of best catch of the season.
Toe drag swag of the year.
That was unreal. By the way, the best throw of the year is Anthony Richardson to Alec Pierce so far as you're in your clubhouse leader while we're just talking about this sort of thing.
No doubt about that, no doubt.
Against the Texans, who came up with a nice week one on the road division win with Stephon Diggs. But that said, Rams showed up looking like the Rams did in last year's playoffs. Okay, and defensively, they were doing it for Sean McVay. And if there is one thing about Sean McVay's game, I would just love, which is kind of crazy to say, because this guy, 5 out of 7 years, he's taken teams to the playoffs. Some that you expect, some that you don't, like last year. And can Les Snead pick players who can play together and be coached up? Yes, the answer to that is yes. Now, McVay just gets a little too aggressive, you know, when they have the ball and all they got to do is take the air out of it.
Right.
It's always a tough conundrum, you know. You got to keep the clock moving, but you also can't just go into a shell. You can't just go three and out. It just seems that he sometimes can't get that sequence right. Last night was one of them. The Lions took advantage of that, kicked a field goal, went into overtime, and won the game with 100% Dan Campbell football. Come out, get Raymond running around the end, little dipsy do, try and get, you know, some defensive eyes one way, go the other way, and then just ram it down your throat. They passed it one time to Jahmyr Gibbs, ran it one time to Jahmyr Gibbs, and then ran it five times with David Montgomery. Smash mouth, 9 yards per carry, five carries, 45 yards. That's all she wrote. Lions come up with a big win at home to start the season for them. Fans going nuts. Week one, this is the first time this offense played together. Jameson Williams showed up, showed out. They've got everything going for them, especially that five up front. And if Goff doesn't make a mistake, they are going to be tough to beat. Certainly when Dan Campbell is handing the football to a guy that is a perfect extension of his mantra.
After we ran the conditioning test, and whatever that was, July 26th, I guess, you know, the day before we started our first practice, and man, you talk about a guy who was in outstanding shape. Look, all of our guys were, but this guy just looked, I mean, he looked like he didn't break a sweat for this thing. And the first few days of practice, he doesn't look fatigued. And so he's in unbelievable shape. He's worked extremely hard, and he's just, man, he's reliable. He's reliable. He runs heavy. He's tough. He's physical. He gets in a rhythm, and I think he's a catalyst for us, you know. He starts carrying it, and he gets better and better, and I think the line feeds off of him, and he feeds off of them, and we get what we get. So that guy's a stud.
And so are the Lions, and they're going to be tested over the next four games, man. Their next game is against the Buccaneers at home. Another rematch from last year's playoffs, and the Bucs look terrific in week one. At Arizona, which looked terrific in week one in Buffalo despite succumbing. Then they're home for Seattle, and then after a bye at Dallas. Look out. We have got some great football in the weeks and the first month ahead. Certainly with the Lions coming up with the W, and same thing with the Bears, and same thing with the Vikings. Sure enough, the Packers are the only team in the NFC North to lose week one, and they're the ones who are going to have to go into the next few weeks and month without their starting quarterback. Something we'll talk about over the next 3 hours, not just with our guests, Richard Sherman coming up, but also with Julian Edelman, Chris Long, and you at 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. The football season is back, everybody. Don't go anywhere. We will talk about it with another future Hall of Famer in Richard Sherman of Amazon Prime Video Thursday Night Football. They've got the Bills and Dolphins coming up in just 3 days, but he's coming up in just 3 minutes. Let's talk DoorDash, people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat, your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash. That's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer, terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets. 3, 2. Hey, everybody, there's a great new podcast that just launched. I want to tell you about it. It's called Throwbacks, and I know the guys who are doing it. It's hosted by former Entourage star Jerry Ferrara and former USC quarterback Matt Leinart, the 2004 Heisman Trophy winner, who then went on to play in the National Football League for the Arizona Cardinals. So Matt has a ton of experience to tell you about, playing for an iconic college football team, winning that trophy, and then, of course, all the behind-the-scenes stories from his time in college and professional football. While Jerry is one of the leads of an iconic television series, he's got you covered on what it was like being a young guy starring in a show that everyone was talking about, and he's also the voice of the fans. So Matt brings that former player expertise, and Jerry brings that voice of the maniacal sports fan. Enjoy hanging out with your new favorite pair of throwbacks every Thursday. Follow and subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. Back here on the Roku Sports Channel, Richard Sherman will join us in just a couple minutes' time when our radio audience rejoins all in one. And it was just a wild weekend of sitting on my ass.
Yeah, man.
To be honest with you, it's kind of crazy.
Not about it. It was all, we're back.
You know, watched Michigan get dismantled by Texas, then watched the same happen to our friend Prime with Nebraska. In between, watched it felt a little bit better to watch Notre Dame lose to Northern Illinois.
That was kind of a shocker.
Wow.
That's always fun.
Yeah, that was wow.
It's kind of like their App State in a way.
Yeah, that was wow.
You know, yeah. Except App State was Division II and Michigan was ranked one. Other than that, then Sunday, game day morning into 8 early, 4 late, one on NBC. And now here we are talking about it.
It was great. It was great. We're so back.
Did you do anything else?
No, absolutely not.
TJ, did you do anything else?
Nope. For football?
No, just
this weekend.
This weekend.
I thought you meant, because you know, you're always like, you don't leave the house. I did leave the house.
Oh, you did?
And I watched football.
Oh, this guy went to the barn yesterday.
It was glorious.
Oh, this guy.
I mean, he put it on the gram.
What does that mean, this guy?
He put it out there for everyone to see.
A little flex.
Yeah, by the way, I saw Ashton Sheehy showing up. He did another show. I mean, at some point, TJ, wow, we have to question whether you do know him.
I feel the same way. I mean, I'm not even asking him anymore. You know, he's gonna.
Oh, win. You are asking him then.
I have.
Oh, okay.
Not lately. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'll get him here eventually.
At some point.
Let's hope.
By the time for Three and a Half Men?
The reboot?
I'm just trying to think. The reboot. Okay, at any rate. So we're here on the Rich Eisen Show Roku Sports Channel. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. He is the 5-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion, and one of the analysts for Prime Video Thursday Night Football, joining us here in advance of Dolphins and Bills to kick off the Thursday night season in just 3 days' time. None other than future Hall of Famer Richard Sherman here on the program. How are you doing, Richard?
I'm good, Rich. How are you?
It's been too long. It's been
too long. It's always too long.
Football is back. What is your football viewing world? What does that look like on a Sunday? Where are you? Where are you taking it in?
I'm at home, but I got a nice setup. I got to give myself credit for that. I got a really nice setup. I got Red Zone on one TV. I usually have whatever, you know, NBC or, you know, ESPN has this whole own thing going on right now. But I try to keep every game I can at the same time. But a lot of times Red Zones make sure you at least get the highlights you need. So I have a good time.
So what did you pick up from Bills or Dolphins yesterday that you're eager to see how they can follow up on it coming just in a few days on your network?
Well, I mean, Buffalo, I didn't expect them to be in such a dogfight with Arizona. I mean, Arizona's done a really good job over the years making these games competitive. Kyler did a good job. I mean, obviously they didn't get Marvin as involved as I'm sure they wanted to. But I was anxious to see how they would do with so many of their stalwart, like foundational pieces gone. Your Jordan Poyer's gone. Your Micah Hydes are gone. Leonard Floyd is gone. There's so many guys that Tre'Davious White, who's been there forever, is gone. Then you got Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, both gone. And so how is Josh Allen going to respond to that? Because this is kind of like his moment when Pat Mahomes lost Tyreek Hill, and everybody's like, hey, this is his moment to prove, like, he's a guy. He's with or without Tyreek Hill. He's the reason that this offense goes. And obviously he's gone over and beyond his ability to show that. But this was Josh Allen. This is Josh Allen's year to be able to show the same thing. And I think he did a good job of putting the team on his back yesterday.
Yeah. And then the Dolphins, your two cents on Tua getting paid and his performance in week one, maybe based on the pressure he might be putting on himself, unless you think that's insignificant, Richard.
No, definitely not insignificant. I mean, when you get paid, there's so much pressure on you, because regardless of how you played before, people are going to have an opinion about how you play after. And they're going to say, hey, he's not as hungry. He's not preparing the same way. If you don't come in shape, like he doesn't care as much. He doesn't have the same passion. He's not as hungry. And the biggest storyline, obviously, that everybody knew was just how Tyreek was going to respond to the adversity and the chaos that he dealt with earlier in that day. And now Calais Campbell is saying they put him in cuffs, too. And, you know, that's such a distraction for a team on game day, especially the best player on your team getting put in handcuffs. And then the rest of the team, like, you know, as a human being, people are like, oh, man, how's my fantasy going to do? And how's this going to do? As a human being, you're like, bro, like, it's stressful. I'm sure that was like a stressful ordeal. He's getting embarrassed publicly right at the stadium. Everybody's coming to watch with probably his jersey on, and he has to deal with this and then go to the stadium and try to put it all to the side, put it all behind him, get motivated for this game, get locked in, and perform at a really high level. I mean, that's really tough to do, and you got to take your hat off to him because he was able to do that and not only execute but really blow this game open late with that 80-yard touchdown. And it was cool that, you know, the celebration and everything was hilarious because the touchdown was so long, he had to wait for – the crowd was pretty much done. Everybody was, like, ready for the field goal by the time he was celebrating. But that was a really cool moment, I thought. And I love how he downplayed it and you know, didn't attack anybody, didn't try to make it more of a situation than it was. But as a human being, I felt for him.
Well, in terms of that, so you're aware, this just happened in the last 5 minutes. Per Jeff Darlington of ESPN, Tyreek received two citations, careless driving and a seatbelt violation. And Calais Campbell, who said that police briefly detained him for disobeying a direct order, did not end up receiving a citation. What were your thoughts when you heard about this story, first blush, on Sunday, Richard?
I didn't know. You know what I mean? You try not to be knee-jerk reaction to things like that because, you know, you get a 8-second clip of Tyreek getting arrested on the ground on the hot pavement in Miami. You're like, I think there, whatever he did, I think there's a better way to do it. I think there's a better way. You don't have to put him face down on the concrete in Miami. I don't know how hot it was, but I'm guessing it was really hot. And so then you see another clip of a guy kind of leaving his bike and kind of roughing him up a little bit. And you're like, was that really necessary? I don't think so. It didn't look like it was necessary, but I also don't have the full scope, so I can't, you know, pass judgment. But I, you know, you got a seatbelt violation means you're just kind of being an a-hole. I don't remember anybody. Like, when's the last time you heard of somebody getting a seatbelt violation, Rich? Like, I don't know. Even how, did you see him without a seatbelt on and that's what you pulled him over for? And now it's reckless driving. How recklessly can you be driving in game day traffic? I just don't see you driving too recklessly. Have you ever been in game day traffic? You can't go more than 5-6 miles, 10 miles an hour. You know, where is he going to go? And that's perfectly fine. Like, you can cite him, but do you need to put him in handcuffs to write him a citation? Do you need to put him face down on a pavement to write him a citation? I don't think you do. And so I think they said something about the officer getting put on administrative duties or something.
Yes.
And it's just unfortunate. It's just unfortunate. You know, you don't want to see Tyreek put in that situation. You don't want to see the cops put in that situation. You know, they're just trying to do their job and keep people safe, which you respect. You know, it's a hard job. You got to do it. But just certain aspects of it just didn't make sense. Putting him on the hot pavement, I don't think that's necessary.
Yeah, he is. That's what Jeff Darlington of ESPN is saying, that one of the officers on the scene remains on administrative duty. And that had to have been the sole conversation in the locker room before the game, right? On the field, too. Both teams,
right?
I imagine. For sure.
Right. No question. I mean, it has to be. And that's a distraction. On game day, it's hard enough to win football games when all you're focusing on is football. And so I'm sure when we get on the desk on TNF tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, I'm sure it's going to be another topic of conversation, because I'm sure a little bit more light is going to be shed on it. A little bit more information is going to be out there. Maybe the dash cam or the body cam footage is going to be out. And it's an unnecessary distraction for a team, especially when you're working traffic around the stadium. You know, it's not like he got arrested like far away. You know, he got arrested right near the stadium. And so at that point, if you're an officer, I'm sure it's up to your discretion to say, hey, we're going to write you a ticket. I know you got to go, but hey, you were driving too crazy. I'm sorry to bother you on game day. Well, I'm not sorry, because you shouldn't be driving crazy. Write you a citation and let him go on about his day. I just don't. I really want to hear the conversation about how he's face down on the pavement.
Richard Sherman here from Thursday Night Football on Prime Video. A few minutes left with him. You know what it's like to defend a Super Bowl championship and come awful close to defending two of them in a row. What do you think are the challenges for the Chiefs here, Richard, this year?
I mean, it's nothing new for them. So the challenge is boredom. Honestly, Rich, it's human nature. The challenge is boredom. The challenge is not getting bored with the mundane. And I know it sounds crazy, but they kind of got bored a little bit last year until the playoffs. And then they turned it on and they didn't look bored anymore. And they started to lock in and they executed at a high level, won the Super Bowl. And I think it's just human nature. Anytime you're dominant, anytime you have success consistently, you feel at ease. And It looks like the front office didn't feel at ease, because they draft Xavier Worthy. He looks like he fits right into what they want him to do. They may adds a whole nother dynamic that they have not had since Tyreek Hill left, makes their offense incredibly explosive defensively. You let L'Jarius Sneed go. That was incredible. That was tough to watch. And I'm sure tough for Spags to take in, because he's been so consistent and he's a homegrown talent for those guys. But they let him go. They still have McDuffie. They still have Watson. They still have a lot of capable players over there. And it's cool to just see them continue to have success, continue to play at a high level. Obviously, Patrick's playing at – like, when you see somebody throwing around-the-back passes in the National Football League, even if it's in a preseason game, you're just scratching your head like, wow. They're trying to keep it fun. They're trying to keep it fun. And I respect Andy Reid for evolving over time and evolving to his personnel and to the guys that he's dealing with. Because sometimes as a coach, I'm sure – you yourself are like, hey, this is the way I've always done it. This is the way we're going to do it. And it looks as though from the outside looking in that Andy Reid is being flexible and catering to what his players need and coaching the team that he has, not the team that he wants to have.
Yeah, I love that. Boredom. Because, again, just to bring this all full circle, you know, there are humans in these pads and underneath the helmets. And, you know... That yeah, the mundane, the practice, the blood, sweat, and tears on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, if there's, you know, no days off for on a Tuesday, right? I mean, like, that's the sort of stuff when you've got two in the case, you know, I don't need to do it here because, you know, we'll just flip a switch to get the third in the case, and then you get got. Like, that's
right, and
that's real, Richard.
That's tough. There's some guys who don't know what it means to get put out of the playoffs. You know what I mean? It is taking care of your body. It's the daily massages. It's the extra stretching. It's the extra film work. Like, are you still on the small details that made you guys a champion? Or are you like, man, I mean, I got it now. You know what I mean? I've been in the Super Bowl twice. Like, I don't need to watch the extra 2-3 hours of film. I don't need to do the extra stretching. I don't need to get the extra massage or do the Pilates that I always have been doing to keep my body limber, to keep my joints functioning the way they should be. Like, It's everybody. And you just don't need it from four or five guys. You need it from 50 guys.
Last one for you, Richard. I'm sure you'll be talking Thursday night about Tua's comments to Dan Le Batard about Brian Flores and Mike McDaniel being two different types of coaching styles and him responding best to one, including the current one. What was your opinion on that? I'm sure you'll be chopping that up Thursday night.
Yeah, we'll definitely be talking about it. I mean, it's just a different day and age, and it's different coaching styles, because they said this coaching style would never work. You know, if you talk about 15 years ago, 20 years ago, football, and a guy sitting there like talking to players pretty reasonably, playing music at practice, like being, they'd be like, he's too much of a player's coach. Like, what is he doing? He's listening to his players. No, MF them and tell them they're wrong and coach them like, you know, that's a style of coaching. Like Belichick, if you talk to Tom, Tom's like, hey, I got coached like that and I responded well to it. Perfectly fine. That's how the game has been coached for a really long time. And then it changed somewhere. Like it might've been Pete, because Pete doesn't coach like that. Pete Carroll coaches very optimistically. You know, there isn't a lot of cursing. There's not a lot of yelling. There's correction. There's, hey, you made a mistake. This is what we want you to do. But it's in a very positive and reassuring way. It's not like, hey, if you don't get it done, we're going to find somebody to get it done. Richard, and, you know, and so.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. No, sorry. I thought you were done. Go ahead. Please continue. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's just a different style. And I respect him being honest and candid about it.
Richard, I appreciate it. You know, I love to get more time with you in the future. I enjoy watching you on Thursday night. Say hi to the whole crew and have a good time down there in South Florida.
I appreciate you, Rich. I always love seeing you, brother. I'll see you soon.
Right back at you. That's one of the best, Richard Sherman, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Everybody check out Bills Dolphins to kick off the Thursday night football season on Prime Video, which you can see right here on the Roku portal. Again, he's the real deal, man. Boredom. How about them apples, right?
I think that's a great point. We're only human. These guys are only human.
All right, let's take a break. We come back. I've got the fan base that I believe that needs a hug the most after week number one of the National Football League season. And that's well in advance of the Jets playing the 49ers tonight.
Come on, you're fine.
That next. This is an in-season edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part, or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it actually for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats, so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Are you still playing fantasy football? You still doing that?
Not really. I'm in a league, but I don't control it. One of my buddies controls it for me.
Well, because I know we've had conversations about this before, and that there are some interesting, tasks that the loser of this league must undertake. So are you, if you lose, even though you're not part of the day-to-day?
Oh, yeah, they'll hold me to it. Absolutely. I don't even know if I could tell you who's on my team right now, but... if I were to lose, they would absolutely hold me to it, and we'd have to go take care of business.
What are some of the fails that I guess that you have to do? What are some of the responsibilities of the losers of your league? What is
last year the loser had to go to Alaska for a day?
What do you mean, like for a for a day?
Yeah.
Okay.
We went to a place called Nome, Alaska. Actually, where the Iditarod, it goes through there, I think.
Yeah, so the loser,
flood race,
regardless of the geographic spot in the United States, would have to, for a day, get on a plane and proof of purchase of the ticket and then take a photo. Like, how do you...
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was tasks involved. It was, I think he went in March.
Okay.
But it was a whole thing. And that was just 1 year. That was just last year. This year, it'll be entirely different.
What other previous years? Any other examples? Because that's amazing. You have to go to Nome, Alaska.
The year before, the loser, Barstool Sports does the Rough and Rowdy, the boxing deal. He fought in that. At the Super Bowl, the year we were there, he was fighting in the boxing on Friday night before the game there.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. This is you do not want to lose your fantasy league, Jerry.
No, you don't. No, that's why I try to put a lot of faith in my buddy that's running the point.
That's all on our YouTube channel. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Start buying tickets to anything in your area. Certainly, if you're looking at these games on the TV set this weekend, you're like, I want to go to a football game. Guess what? Game Time Tickets is exactly for you. Game Time Picks is a new feature that filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats for these games. So you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Make sure that you get the Game Time app and then you click on the panoramic view from your seat function so you could see the view of the field from your seat before you buy. And then my favorite part is the all-in pricing feature. When you toggle that, it shows you your total upfront, so no surprise fees at tech checkout at all. Take the guesswork out of buying football tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem our code RICH for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Football season, as we know, is underway, and you might start to think about some fan bases that need a hug. I'm a huggy guy. I am. You know, sometimes fans will call in, they'll say, oh, I'm so upset about bro this, hug, upset that. We offer them a bro hug.
You're the king of the virtual hug, baby.
Which is, you know, we extend our arms, we reach out, we just...
You bring them in tight.
Tap in the back, and then we go our separate ways.
Nice to know you.
But I think these fan bases already need, like, a real hug. And the one in particular... Now, you could sit here and say it's got to be the Carolina Panthers. You know,
there are several. I mean,
well, the one thing that actually went well for the Carolina Panthers yesterday is the fact that Caleb Williams didn't come out like C.J. Stroud, House of Fire.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
He looked human.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The Bears won without scoring an offensive touchdown.
Yeah, not a lot went right, and they still won.
They still won.
The Bears.
Okay. So. Here's the way I'm going to go with this one. Because Carolina, I mean, the Saints just curb stomped him.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Like,
to Seth the point
Rollins
where I'm thinking, you know, David Tepper, the owner, is notorious for having a quick, you know, trigger finger. I'm just wondering, you know, I hope Dave Canales is okay today. Just, you know?
Save that for later, Rich.
That's an overreaction Monday subject matter for our podcast later on? Okay.
Monday.
Now, the fan base I'm thinking about. is the New York Football Giants.
Oh, man. Oh, baby.
Because yesterday was terrible. And it came on the heels.
It's being polite.
Came on the heels of Saquon's first game as an Eagle. Now, when Saquon scored for a second time on Friday night.
My fantasy team jumped for joy.
In the Brazil game. Well, Jaden Reed was going toe for toe back and forth. As a matter of fact, just to not digress, you need a few points from the Niners defense to actually survive the week between us. But that's nobody cares about that. In the same way that, by the way, Giants fans were responding to me saying, this is a nightmare for Giant fans. They're like, not a nightmare. We've turned the page. We don't care.
Yeah, I
got that from a ton of people making you think it's
an line.
They were basically saying it's a YP, like it's your problem. Like it's my problem.
You were like Rich's problem?
Honestly, like wait a minute. I'm just saying this. Like the owner of the Giants, John Mara, co-owner of the Giants, John Mara was on Hard Knocks basically saying, I don't want to see him walk to Philadelphia.
Yes, we need to keep this guy.
And he goes to Philadelphia, and he scores three times. Three. One in the air on a beautiful grab.
Oh,
and then two on the ground. Mm-hmm. And he was dominant. And storyline number three on the under-the-radar storyline number three of the NFL 2024 season, as I said last week, was not how will Saquon do, but can he plus up the Eagles like McCaffrey plussed up the Niners? Okay, got a championship team already there. Went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And an offense that's chock full of stars. And he joins them and just turbocharges them. 1 week in, kind of looks that way. And the Giants fans then watch the Giants show up in their old school uniforms, where a couple times yesterday, I thought they weren't wearing pants. I thought they were wearing shorts. They were wearing shorts. By the way, I love the Wolverine look on the helmets because this is old school. It's their 100th season.
Yeah. Those were hideous,
They rolled everybody out. Rolled everybody out. LT was there. I think, did I see Parcells was there? I just saw they rolled everybody out. The Vikings are in town. And it looked like they were wearing shorts, like John Stockton shorts. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? I'm like, oh, no, that's just the tan color of the pants. And then they looked dreadful. Dreadful. And then the quarterback that came in and looked efficient and killed it while Daniel Jones threw a couple interceptions the Vikings intercepted him a couple times, let's put it that way. And Malik Nabers was, trying to make plays, but really not had no opportunities. The guy that came in and didn't miss was the guy who once upon a time famously saw ghosts in there, and Sam Darnold. So Darnold's coming in, and he's throwing it around in front of Giants fans who watched him flunk out on the Adam Gase team.
Seen ghosts.
That guy. Showed up. 1 week in, 19-24, as efficient as it gets. Vikings look great. They had Aaron Jones. They had someone else's running back from in division, just like the Eagles have from them. So, Giants fans, you may not want it from me. Certainly those on X were like, pound sand. We don't care. We turned the page. We're on to something else.
Sure you have.
I'm going to give you a hug no matter whether you want it or not. Reach around and give you a hug and tap, tap. Sound great if you just actually took that, wrote it down. And then Dexter Lawrence, this is a tough one too. This is what gets blown up in the New York media, and then apologies get sent out. This is what he had to say. It was he knew he was being baited into saying something he didn't want to say. Hit it.
Fans did not seem very happy at a lot of points in this game. Could you hear that on the sideline?
Could I hear the fans?
Yeah, I mean, they
however many fans there are?
Yeah, booing at home. Yeah, booing your team.
Could I hear them?
Yeah.
Can you get another question, please?
What do you make of that? What do you make of the boys?
I don't respect it, honestly. I get it. They want to see their team win. It's just a rough patch. It just is what it is.
Moments ago, Brian Daboll just said Daniel Jones will be the starting quarterback in week two.
Yeah, he's going to be. I mean, obviously. It's just week two. It's just one. You take it, bury the tape. Honestly, they're going down to Washington next week. That's a pretty big game for both teams. Yeah. Can the Giants turn around and look much better? Absolutely. Absolutely. But right now, I think Giants fans need a hug. You can laugh all you want.
I don't. I'm not laughing. They do need a hug.
That's really bad. Why I'm offering them up a hug.
It's really bad.
And just in case, as I just spent the last few minutes talking about how the Giants fan base needs a hug, people might think I can't look in a mirror. Michigan Wolverine football fans. That was, what's the word for it? Not good. Those are two words. That was bad. That was ugly. On Saturday. And listen, Texas looks phenomenal. I want to give a tip of my cowboy hat to my friends in Austin.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not saying this to try and soften a blow or anything like that. They remind me of Michigan last year. A team with a quarterback who's returning with a huge NFL potential, a head coach who can dial it up with some NFL pedigree as well, fresh off a national semifinal loss that stings. Because prior to Saturday, Michigan's last loss was that national semifinal game against TCU. And a terrific defense and playmakers all over the lot and an offensive line that can road grade. Oh my God, they have Quinn Ewers is excellent. He is just terrific, man. And Texas, I mean, Sark, did you see Sark came in in a burnt orange suit in a black shirt? Like, that guy knew knew he had the better team coming into that stadium.
Yeah.
And they did. And they do. And they do.
Yeah.
And they are superb. And, you know, clearly the recipe for short-term success is not to lose 18 players to the NFL and have an offensive line that had collectively amongst the five guys about 250 games played down to less than 50 with a walk-on quarterback and a bunch of players trying to learn who they are together. And, defensive coordinator and Wink Martindale, who might maybe have to adjust to the college game as well, because Sark just took them apart on Saturday. And I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised Nebraska's ranked lower than Michigan. I kind of think that's based on just past years. You take a look at what Nebraska's looked like and what Michigan's looked like in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, the first couple weeks of the college rankings is kind of a feel-out situation.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, that kid Dylan Raiola just took apart Prime in the first half.
Yeah.
In Nebraska, and they've looked really good. They look like one of the top five teams in the Big Ten. So I'm giving them flowers too. And it's going to be a rough week on the bus for Taylor, I think. Ooh. With Nebraska looking that way and Michigan looking the way Michigan looked like on Saturday. And, USC's in a couple weeks. Oregon's on the schedule. The Ohio State, Garrett Wilson tweeting out that Michigan looks like ass. Have some fun right now, folks. But I'll just tell you, last year is the greatest year ever. And I don't care what anybody is tweeting at me. I don't care what I'm seeing in response. I don't care. That's the greatest. Last year was the greatest.
Yeah.
But this year, it's just a different team. And Texas looks exactly like Michigan did last year.
Yeah, Texas looks like a Final Four.
No question about it.
Championship team, yeah.
With NFL players all over the place. Yeah, yeah. And they did lose some, too, man.
They did. Quinn Ewers is the Heisman favorite right now. So.
Well, a kid from Miami's got to be in that mix, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's him. Right? It's him, Cam Ward from Miami, and Carson Beck from Georgia. That's their top three right now.
And I hope Shador's okay. He got banged up again.
Well, Shiloh had surgery. Deion tweeted out on his arm.
You know. But I think everybody in Maize and Blue needed a hug Saturday night. I know I felt like I needed one. That was a tough one to watch. But hey, I will sign going 20 months in between losses. I'll sign for that anytime.
You feel worse about Michigan losing or better that Notre Dame lost?
Oh, great question, Chris. Oh, much better that Notre Dame lost.
Okay,
are
checking.
You kidding me?
Just checking.
Oh, my God. Coop and I were high-fiving. We became Northern Illinois fans on the spot.
Yeah.
And by the way, that coach, the coach
who was
on DP show.
So incredible.
His reaction. And by the way, the questions from the sideline reporter as well to notice that he was crying and just let the moment breathe. Yeah. It was great.
It was.
That's why you watch sports. That's why you love sports, to see a team go into like Notre Dame.
30-point underdogs.
Notre Dame and mop it up, right?
Yeah.
Win, lock it up, and collect $1.5 million from them as well for the right to beat them in their home stadium.
Here's your check, and we'll take a W.
And we will take the win and your money.
Yeah.
Yes. In South Bend. Oh, that was great. That was a nice soft landing.
Yeah.
I appreciate you catering to my spite.
Of course.
Sir.
I know who I'm talking to.
So, yes, that was much more enjoyable than me feeling. I mean, that was a higher high than the lower low. So, fantastic. When we come back, I'll just keep eating crow.
Uh-oh.
Couple of week one moments where I think I might have spoken too soon. That's coming up with Julian Edelman in hour number two and Chris Long in hour three.
Rich, it's fine. You can come to the national championship parade that's going to happen in Syracuse.
It's Syracuse,
in
huh?
About like 4 months.
I like it, though. It's pretty cool, man.
I got to say, it's like I haven't been this excited about college football for my school in
a while.
20 plus years. So.
Who'd you beat this week? I didn't pay attention.
Oh, Georgia Tech. They were ranked.
Oh, that's right.
They
okay.
were ranked. And they came into the dome and we were pounding them and then... You know, our defense is not great. We can't really tackle well, so they made it close at the end.
Yeah.
But we still hung on. We're ranked 29th this week. We got votes.
You're in others?
We're in others. Others receiving votes. Kyle McCord is lighting it up. 800 yards and 8 touchdowns in 2
games.
That's
good for him.
That's fun. It's just fun to be excited about your college football team, as you very well know.
Dude. And then that's +1 across the street. Jim plussing them up by one.
Plus one. I mean, they're minus 4.
They're minus still. 4.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. We got one. We got one towards the plus and up.
I mean, it wasn't great. It was a boring.
Actually, no, wait. They didn't win week one last year. +1.
It's a boring, grinded
plus
out
one,
victory.
Baby. +1.
J.K. Dobbins, I think, just scored again.
Well, by the way, that's the strangest of bedfellows. If you had told me that Jim would be back in the NFL and Joey Bosa and J.K. Dobbins would help Jim on the way to his first career win as a Charger head coach. Strange bedfellows, because those two were the ones who put Jim in the dumpster for all those years.
Yep.
You know, I felt as a Raider fan.
Oh, baby. We'll talk about that.
Nice. We suck again.
That's hour number two coming up.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt, movie director James Mangold.
I'd want to turn Bob Dylan to a simple character with a simple thing to unlock that then makes you go, ah, now I get him. First time I sat down with him, he said, what's this movie about, Jim? It's about a guy who's choking to death in Minnesota and reinvents himself in a brand new place, becomes phenomenally successful, starts to choke to death again, and runs away. And he smiled. He was like, I like that.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.